All right. We're getting sound without a lot of feedback, and not everybody woke up at one time, which is also a very good thing. Good evening to everyone. As we get started tonight, we're going to be finishing up. Greg did an excellent job with the first half of the book of Proverbs, and we're going to try to finish that off tonight. He took the first three of the categories, and then we're going to try to finish it off this evening. When you think about the Proverbs, again, we're just going to run through the purposes. These are repeating some of his slides, but just to get them back in front of us, to know the wisdom and instruction, to discern the works of understanding, to receive instruction, to give prudence to the simple, that the wise may increase in their learning. Let me just actually read from here. Again, I'm going to remember to wear my contacts every once in a while. That the wise may increase in their learning. So these are the purposes. Now, there's a large portion of this Proverbs. And really, what are Proverbs? These are their purposes, to teach us something, to build us up, to increase our knowledge, to increase our wisdom. But if I was to walk up and say, Randall, what's a proverb? That's exactly, something nice. You typically, it's nice, short, concise, that communicates a truth, a teaching, an understanding. So why is it there's a huge section at the beginning of the book of Proverbs that is a who's speaking to who? Father is talking to his son. The older I get, and as I have children, and now I actually have a child that's reaching that age where she's looking at colleges, and you think about the child going away, these kind of things make a lot more sense now, right? You're going out on your own. You're about to step out on your own. These kind of things make sense. These, please latch on to these, this wisdom, these things that I want you to learn, these things I want you to know. So we're looking at this by subject. So to kind of put the subjects up there before us, the other night, the Sunday morning, we talked about poverty, wealth, industriousness versus laziness. We're going to come back and hit a little bit of that tonight when we're talking about a few of these. We talked about the danger of intoxicating beverages and the parents and children, right? So those were the three that we covered Sunday morning. Today we're going to talk about companions and friendships, warnings against sexual immorality, the tongue, and the worthy woman at the end, Proverbs chapter 31. You can't do Proverbs 31 without, or a class on Proverbs without talking about Proverbs 31. So, let's go ahead and let's get started. If we talk about the definition, when I say wisdom, right? You know, you think about this. First, what's knowledge? To know what? I think of knowledge as knowing facts, right? I have knowledge built up in my head. But is knowledge wisdom? No. Well, there's knowledge. I know facts. Now, we add another layer to that, which is understanding. So understanding is I can know 2 plus 2 equals 4, but if I actually add understanding to that, I start to understand the concepts. I understand those things, right? So you have knowledge, which is the knowledge of facts, understanding, which means I begin to understand those facts. So now with those two kind of things behind us, what's a good working definition of wisdom? Exactly. Applied knowledge, right? I've got the knowledge, I've added understanding, and now I want to apply that knowledge. So when I think of wisdom as simply as applied knowledge or applied understanding. So let's go ahead and get started in this concept of companionship and friendship. And again, a lot of these passages are that in that session on parent-child relation or the father speaking to the son. What do you think one of the main things that a father is speaking to the son about? What is one of the main things we talk to our children about? Who their friends are, those influences that are around them, who you pick as your friends. We've seen it. Most of us think about when we go back to when we were in school, or were we not kind of a combination of the people we hung out with? We pick up the habits of the people that were around all the time. We do the things, we say the things, we begin to talk like the people that were around all the time. So, that being said, how important is it to pick who you're around? And what parent hasn't watched their child go and play at little Susie's house and come home, and no, you're not going there again, you're beginning to act like little Susie, right? Or you go here and you see maybe the positive influence on the child from the people that they've been around. We see this all the time. Now, I say this and I find it really interesting. We're talking about Proverbs, and yes, I start in 1 Corinthians. But most of these Proverbs are repeated within the New Testament scriptures. When I think of 1 Corinthians chapter, when I think of this concept, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived, what? Evil companions are going to do what? That's right, corrupt good morals. They're going to corrupt good habits, corrupt good morals. Do our younger children always get that? That's the purpose of the book of the Proverbs, right? They don't get that. To try to instruct them and try to get them to learn this, right? Go from knowledge to understanding of topics like this, that evil companions corrupt good morals. But once you add a little bit of life to it, add a little bit of age to it, you begin to get to the point of wisdom, and you really begin to see this concept that evil companions corrupt good morals. So this is something we're taught in the New Testament. It's one of the things that Paul's closing out his first letter to the Corinthians and telling them, be careful who your companions are. Well, in Proverbs, same thing is happening. Be careful who your companions are. I love this particular one. He who walks with a wise man will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now, this kind of gives us the antithesis or the opposite of what we're talking about here, right? Our fear is if we're out there and you've got our children and they're hanging out with the kid that we don't want them to come home and act like. But we actually hear that this is a truth that goes both ways, right? Evil companions corrupt good morals, yes. But what does good companions do, right? Good companions will build a child up. In the business world, you talk about finding that mentor. I've used this phrase a couple times lately, this quote. I'll use it one more time and then let it go. But never take advice from people who aren't getting the results you want to experience. In the business world, I'm going to go seek out that mentor. I'm going to go out and seek that person who has the goals, the results that I want. Same concept here. This being said, what if I spend my time hanging out with someone who is wise, someone who is prudent? What kind of results am I going to get? I will learn from them. I'll start mimicking that behavior, right? I'm around that behavior. I let that behavior influence me. And then I'll start replicating that behavior. So this works both ways. It works both to the good. But what about to the bad? Correct. Yes. Yes. And you're absolutely correct. And bringing that out a little bit more with the second question, more importantly, if I spend my time around, and we can go back to the first class that we talked about, the lazy, we're going to talk about the gossip here in a minute when we start talking about the tongue. But what if I'm spending the most of my time and begin mimicking? And the concept even with the wise is, not only am I spending my time with them, but I begin to mimic them, right? I'm so entrenched and around them that their good habits, their wisdom, rubs off on me. Well, what if the same thing happens with the lazy? Well, if I spend my time around the lazy, I might become lazy. If I spend my time around the gossip, typically, people do pretty good at hearing gossip a little bit at first and not repeating it. What happens time after time after time, right? If you consistently surround yourself with that kind of behavior, it's not long. You see them whisper. You see them repeat it. You see the other people laugh. You see the other people smile because they're doing it. And you start wanting to get those same results, right? You want to be the cool person who gets those kind of results. So where we spend our time, and has anyone heard the concept or seeing, again, I think of it as a truism. When you think about marriage, You know, Cheryl and I have been around each other long enough that I can start a sentence and you know what? She's going to be able to finish it. But people say you start to act alike. Some even say you begin to look alike. I would never dare say that. I wouldn't do that to her. But say you begin to act like, you begin to look like. Why is that? Because as you spend enough time together, you know, that part of that oneness thing that goes on is you spend that kind of time together, the habits start going off from one to the other. So that is, and there is many of the proverbs. We're going to run through some of these quickly, but there's many of the proverbs that are about this particular topic. Again, to the positive, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Right? This is to the positive. Iron sharpens iron. What does this mean to the two people that are together? If iron sharpens iron, what is this proverb teaching? Exactly. It's going to bring out the best. And I think the next one that we have on the screen actually takes that one step further. Open rebuke in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of the friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful or deceptful. Again, iron sharpens iron. So if I've got that friend, and we're going to skip over another one in just a minute, but if I look at that friend and I say, yeah, I know those things are going on. Those things are wrong in that person, but I'm not going to say anything about it. That's not iron sharpening iron, right? Iron sharpens iron when that friend looks at their friend and says, hey, look, you know, there are those handful of people in my life that can say some really hard things to me. Would probably sound harsh to anybody else. But again, to me, may snap me back and say, hey, look, I need to look at myself. I need to look at myself this way. That's iron sharpening iron, right? We've talked before about it. You have to build a relationship to be able to get there. But the same thing is here. Open rebuke is better than love concealed. If I'm going to say I love this person but overlook their flaws and not talk to them about their flaws, that's not iron sharpening iron. That's the love carefully concealed or the kisses of an enemy that are deceitful. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, until we're doing that, we can't be helpful to that other person. All right. And I do have more of the Proverbs, and if you go pull these off the web, there are more than we'll actually have time to talk about in here. But one of the other that kind of leads us from this, you've got the friend who is sharpening a friend. Now, let's go to the flip side of this. You got the evil companions corrupt good moral side now, right? We started with, if you hang around the wise man, you listen to the wise man, that counsel will rub off on you and you may become like him, right? If I spend my time with the lazy, I may become lazy. Well, this is talking more of the evil companions corrupt good moral side of this statement. Get on the right one. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in ways that are not good. Okay, so here we just have straight up evil that is around us. But how many of us, right, this is something not necessarily myself personally, but how many of us have had at least friendships horribly hurt from this concept or the sowing of strife by another one? I doubt there's anybody. Maybe the better question might be, is there anyone here who's never experienced either a personal friendship or the friendship, someone who's very close to you, their friendship hurt because of deceitful words of somebody else? You know, it separates friends, and it can separate the best of friends. I can say I have people that at one point in time were some of my best friends. That because of different things that have happened, because of gossip, because of hurtful words, whatever it might have been, ended what was great, such a great thing. So we start looking about these people that we want to be around, you know, who we want to spend our time with. If we're around the violent, he will bring about violence. As we close this particular section down, we talked about evil companion corrupts good morals. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24, he says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with the furious, do not go. Does this not sound like what is being communicated is just get away, right? If I see a person who is constantly angry, constantly mad, if he's always furious, just stay away. Just stay away from that person. Nothing good is going to happen. Well, not in the exact same words, but the same concepts are true over and over again as you look and as you kind of survey the Proverbs. You can find that about the evil man. You can find that about the lazy. If I look and I see someone who's lazy, once again, if I spend a lot of time, I'm going to be like them, where that's the tendency. Stay back. Just stay away. The one who's a wine bibbler. Anyone had seen someone successfully try to constantly hang out with people who drink, and then maybe over the course of 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, what do they typically start doing? They start drinking. Very few. There are times that people hang out with wine bibbers, and don't go there themselves. But much more often than not, if that's the people they're spending their time with, they'll take on that behavior. The same with gluttonous or whatever. You can pick any of the things that the Proverbs speaks out against. So companionship, right? Who we spend our time around will greatly reflect how we turn out. The next section we're going to talk about is that of sexual immorality, right? And you can imagine I didn't go looking for the same kind of graphics for this one as I did for the last. But one of the things that Greg talked about Sunday morning, why was one of the things that we stay away from the wine, right? How is it described? Don't do what? Don't look on that wine when it's beautiful and red and sitting in the glass and sparkling, right? Don't look on that wine when it's sparkling in the glass. Don't look on it for its intoxication factor, that draw that might come with it in that way. Well, much like that, kind of the picture is spoken, and we could be looking at Proverbs chapter 5, 1 through 23. We're going to look, go ahead and turn to chapter 6, verses 20 through 35. But these three are pretty much the same way. And somebody correct me if I'm wrong. In surveying the Proverbs, I don't find times to where the lady is warned about watch out for the guy and his behavior because he's going to entice you into something. But time and time again, you get this warning of the father to the son, or the admonition to the man, watch out. Don't listen to the flattering words. Don't look in lust. Don't do these things, right? Most of the warnings there. Now, but even though it is that way, and definitely if you get into New Testament scriptures, it's very clear that it's both ways. Does that mean that the woman would be immune to the things that are being talked about here? No. Probably more now than ever before with things that are out. Just like if you start looking at the television commercials or whatever, there's never been a time to where just standard television, you're trying to watch a sporting event and the commercials are obscene, right? That goes both ways. So the things we're talking about, though it's not stated as much in the Proverbs as the warning to the women the same way, I think by the time you come to our day and time, I think the warnings are both ways. And I think even by the time you get to the New Testament times, the admonition, the teachings are definitely both directions. But I will say that the language in these, in the Proverbs, are speaking of, you know, the father to the son, speaking to watching out for the immoral woman, the harlot that would try to lure the son into her web. When you look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20, if you start looking at 20, 21, 22, 23, do those verses sound familiar of something historical? Deuteronomy 6 comes to my mind, right? When you start looking at, bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. Take these teachings and have them ever present before you. So when this one starts out, whatever that the proverb is about to go on and teach, that's where he starts. So with that said, someone who has got a nice loud voice, read 24 through 35 for us real quick and listen to the words as they read it. Jeff, would you mind? I am. Let me get over here and test you. I'll go to this side and test you. All right, so as we look at this, we start with the flattering tongue. And again, I think this is something that's not hard, that hard to see, and probably we have all seen it. The picture that's being painted here is of the young man that with a few nice words from an attractive lady, what's going to happen? Yes, yes. And interesting, what term does the proverbist use here? Turn to what? A crust of bread. Right. Just with a few nice flattering words, right? She speaks to him, she allures him, and with these few nice flattering words, much like what we would call wrapped around the little finger, right? At that point, whatever she might ask, he's ready to do. Truism? Definitely. Do we see it? We definitely do. Now, question. Can that go both ways? Yes. You can, just as much as you can have a young man sitting here that with just a little bit of attention from a lady will do whatever, right, wrong, indifferent, not think, not even look back, just do it. You can have the same thing the other way, right? You can have a young lady sitting here that with a few kind, flattering words is willing to go with everything. The proverb is here is warning of that, right? Warning of that behavior. And again, speaking, going back to the imagery that is drawn from the red wine in the glass, right? Don't look on it when it's sitting there sparkling in the glass. The same concept here is don't sit there and look and fixate on the beauty, right? Because when someone is doing that, what's going to happen to their judgment? Right? Yeah. Judgment is most times, again, we're not talking about every time, we're talking about definite proven truths, that when that happens, judgment will go out the window. be reduced to a crust of bread, right? Just to something that can be thrown away. And that is the picture. If you read these other proverbs, we don't have time today, but if you read these others, that is it. To her, this boy is something to be used and thrown away to go in and get the next, right? That's the concept that's going on here. And then there's this truth at the end of this. What about the one who commits this adultery? One, he lacks understanding, right? And the other, what about his soul? He's destroyed his soul, just like in picking your companions. We could go for a whole class on this. We can go through many a times people have been destroyed over this very same thing, right? And again, in the Old Testament, this is very much warning young men to watch out for the ladies. But by the time, at least in our society, and by the time you see the New Testament passages open, I think these concepts go both ways. We don't, you know, not necessarily to read this, and I hope you can actually see this on the screen. I didn't know how the font would turn out. But by the time we turn the pages to the New Testament, and we could look at any number of passages, Matthew 9, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 5, Galatians 5. This one is actually Galatians 5. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Thessalonians, Revelations 21:8. And about three or four of these passages, you have these long lists. And at the long at the end of these long list of traits, so to speak, they will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. In Revelation 21, at the end of that, they will burn in the lake of fire, right? Very hard, harsh language. Now, this thing that the writer of Proverbs is trying to warn about, look at the company. You know, you look at some of these things, look at the company that is kept. Adulterer, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcerers, hatred, contentious, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish. See? And that list continues and continues. Flattering? Right? There's nothing flattering about this list. The list slightly differs depending on the passages you read that ends with will not inherit the kingdom of God. But these things that we're talking about in the Old Testament, they're condemned. The father is warning the son, watch out, steer clear, don't listen to the flattering words, don't look upon the beauty and lust. By the time you get, you know, by the time you get to the teachings of the New Testament, the teachings are still just as true and just as sound. And the company these things keep is pretty horrific. Right. And I do hope to have some time here at the end to come back for questions or comments on all of them. If we'll see if it works out as planned, but I am trying to get through with enough time. So we've talked about friendships, who we spend our time with. Then we took some time and we talked about the harlot, right? The enticing woman that would draw the man away or switch the genders for the truths that we need to learn today. Now let's turn our attention to the tongue. And if I was to think about a New Testament passage and I say the tongue, what comes to mind? James 3. Exactly. Exactly. James 3. James 3 immediately pops to mind. And in that, you have this tongue. With it, you men do what? They bless and they curse. The smallest member of the body, but it's compared to what on a ship? The rudder. Very small little member. But boy, the way the tongue goes, what happens to that big ship? I'm sorry, the way the rudder goes, what happens to the big ship? Well, the way the tongue goes, what happens to the big ship, right? The way the tongue goes, what happens to our behavior? Our paid behavior, if we talk negatively, if we act negatively, if we're hateful, whatever it happens to be, the way our tongue goes, we tend to follow. And with this tongue, we can do amazing things. We can take, and with a few encouraging words at the beginning, we can build up. With a few encouraging words, time and time again, you hear people that talked about, I was at the bottom. I was at the absolute bottom, and this person come in, and with a few encouraging words, I'm back on my feet, I'm doing better, I'm doing these things right. What is that? That is the tongue wisely used. Then again, with that same tongue, we can lie. Revelation 28, the liar is in that same list there. Let's take these in order, and let's first look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 28. When somebody gets there, read Proverbs 15:28 for us. Okay. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the heart of the wicked, I forgot the exact, the mouth of the wicked spews forth, right? So, yeah, we've seen, you know, paraphrasing that concept is, you've got two people sitting here. One listens, thoughtfully goes through, builds up an answer, and then you got the one sitting beside them that as soon as something comes in their mind, what happens? It comes right out the mouth, right? So you have the beauty of this person who will sit and to think about what they're going to say. They take, they listen, they think. That's the person that's controlling that tongue. And typically good results happen from that. Yes. Absolutely, yeah. They have no filter, Doug says. Now, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Somebody else turn there and read that for us. You there, Jeremy? Okay. So again, here on the, we're spending our time on the positive side. You got the person who has thought through their response, the right thing to say, in a word fitly spoken. The right word at the right time. Right? There's times that the sword sharpens the sword, right? You got this concept, I need to say that thing to that friend who needs to hear it. And there's sometimes that, what does a friend need? Sometimes they need rebuke, sometimes they need compassion. That word fitly spoken is the one who sits back and thinks on it and decides what's the right thing to say here. Is this the time to rebuke? Is this the time to chasten? Or is this the time to build up? Yes. That brings up Galatians 6:1 comes to mind there. If, you know, if I'm going to rebuke, in what way should I do it, is the comment that Doug made there. Yes. Yes. Choose those words carefully with the spirit of meekness. Again, because hopefully every time that we open our mouth, what are we trying to do to the people around us? We're trying to edify. We're trying to make them better, right? As opposed to every time I open my mouth, I'm trying to edify myself and build myself up, right? So that's one of the pictures that's being painted here. When I'm going to study. I'm going to think about what I'm going to say so that when I open my mouth and I say it, that the listener is actually better at the end of that conversation. I might not look better, right? It's not about making me look better at the end of that conversation, but the listener has something that they're better at the end of that conversation. So yes, and we all have examples, and we all have been down, low, hurting, or in sin. And it was the rebuke or the word of encouragement that came along that snapped us out, right? So we know that words can build up. They can be said at the right time to keep us from making a horrible decision. They can be said to get us to get out of sin. Or they can just be said sometimes when we're hurting and we need that word of comfort. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. Especially verse 16, a very popular passage. These six things the Lord hates. Anytime you have a list that's prefaced with these things the Lord hates, typically not going to be a positive list, right? These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven is an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue. We can continue the list, right? But right there off the top, a proud look, a lying tongue. And then goes on to hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises a wicked plan, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who is so discord among the brethren. We've already talked about the concept of gossip in the past already, but that is definitely something here with the tongue. So here we have the six things the Lord hates. One of those being the lying tongue. Revelations 28 also makes the point, and very strictly makes the point, that the liar is in that list. That, you know, some places this will not inherit eternal life. In Revelations 21, it is, will burn in the lake of fire. So with this tongue, we can build up. With this tongue, we can lie. And we're going to go, instead of reading each of these individually for time's sake, we're just going to hit the high points here. With the tongues, we can flatter. Now, what was that harlot? Was it a good way that that harlot was flattering? Right? Again, it can be both good and bad. But in this particular case, I'm talking about the flattery that you would get, like, from the harlot, right? These were some of the same passages that would be looked at with the harlot. What is the purpose of the flattery in this case? What's the harlot trying to do? Trying to get the young man to commit sin, right? Trying to entice the young man in. So, and we can do it. It may not be a sexual sin. It may be any kind of sin. But flattery, often flattery is used to try to get someone to open up to trust you so that you could influence them. Or at least used by evil people with evil intentions. Gossip. We've spent a little bit of time on it already. But the proverb speaks a lot of this, right? We've already looked at a couple of those. What does, when we're talking about companions, what does the whisperer do to best friends? It'll separate the best of friends. It'll destroy a friendship. The hateful speech, the gossip, will definitely destroy the best of friends or any positive relationship. With that same tongue, James chapter 3, with the same tongue that I can bless God, and with that same tongue, I will curse. Proverbs 20, 20 through 30, and 30, 10 through 11 talks the same way. And with this tongue, I can hurt someone. We won't turn and look at this passage again. With this tongue, we can do so many things. So what is, at the end of the day, what's the lesson for us? Which category do we need to try to keep our tongue in? That very first one that we looked at where we're thinking about what we say before we say it, right? There was more passage in what we said. But we think about, we study, what am I going to say before it comes out? And that everything we say is to build someone else up, not ourselves up. And if we would follow those couple of rules, I think we would do very well. All right, so to make sure, even if we don't have time to get back to comments and feedback, I do want to make sure that we hit this. Proverbs 31. You can't have any serious study of the book of Proverbs without talking about this. And I know you can't read that, but I wanted you to see, this is about you seeing the magnitude more than seeing the list, right? More than being able to read the list. I wanted you to see the magnitude of the qualities that is said about the worthy woman. The worthy woman. I got wed wine going on and worthy woman going on, so I apologize for the tongue tied tonight. But the worthy woman of Proverbs chapter 31. He starts us out with who can find a virtuous wife, right? For her worth is far above rubies. Going back and thinking about the father to the son, what more important question? I can think of two of the most important questions the father can have with his son. One is, what are you going to do with your soul? Two, who are you going to choose to spend the rest of your life with? Right? Do you have that list? As I try to talk to Lee, he's a ninth grader. So what is his list of considers, you know, don't tell him I said this, and I'm using him as a generalization. He's a good kid. Is she pretty? Right? You know, ninth, tenth grade. Is she pretty? And then we start, and then there's a big gap, and then we may have some other things, right? But this section is so much more than, is she pretty? Right? This section is, look. Is this a person that I admire and want to be more like? Is this person going to encourage me to be better? Says she does her husband good. She works with her hands. Going back to the very first section that Greg talked about, you know, can you find a good wife? Well, if you find one, find a good, virtuous wife, she's far above rubies. Anybody who has one will tell you, you know, I am blessed well beyond what I deserve. Right? As we look through this, she works with her hands. And I'll use my own example, but but anybody could plug others in, typically up before everybody else in the house to make sure that everybody else is ready to go out the door before it's time to go out the door. But still working at night by the lamps with the lights on to make sure everybody's taken care of. There's food for the household. The household is taken care of. She goes out and she buys a field. What's the purpose of buying the field? She sells it. What does she do with the revenue from that? She uses it to make more revenue, right? So you have this lady who is working hard. She's good with the money, strong. And at the end of all this, if this is not a full-time job enough, there's time left to help the needy. She does not fear the cold because her family is well cared for. They have good clothing. The home, the tapestries, the house is well presented, right? This is a woman who's taking care of things and it looks presentable. Why? Because she works this hard. She's well dressed and presented. When she opens her mouth, wisdom comes out. A beautiful saying, when she opens her mouth, wisdom comes out in this, right? There's no harshness in that tongue. The tongue is a law of kindness. There's never an idle moment. And her family praises her. Now, granted, if you're talking to a young man looking for a wife, maybe it's the rest of her family may be praising her. You don't have that. But if you look at the rest of these things, I can instruct my ninth grader to look at this list and say, is that someone? Is that the lady that's going to fit these categories? Okay, thank you so much for your time and your attention. We'll start Ecclesiastes, right? Sunday morning? Very good. Thank you.